Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Praise the Lord for the young people tonight, the children, and they're singing. And it's just a blessing to see them have a desire to sing praises unto the Lord at their age. Amen. And we need to continue to encourage them in that direction. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, you have the books of 1 and 2 Kings and then 1 and 2 Chronicles, and we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 13. We've been studying little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us, and we've been going back and forth. We'll be looking in the New Testament, and then we go back to the Old Testament, and then go back to New Testament and look at the different ones. And some of these characters you've not really heard of. Others you might have heard of them, but not really understood why God has them recorded in the Scriptures, the message that that is able to go along with their testimony that God has given to us in Scriptures. And but it's just a blessing. It has been for me just searching the Scriptures and looking at the different Bible characters that the Lord would have us to preach about. And tonight, we're going to be looking at a Bible character whose name was Uzzah. Uzzah. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read here chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles, verse 1 down to verse 14. And David consulted with the captains of the thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, "If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquire not at it in the days of Saul." And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Himnath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Shidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again, thanking you, Father, for what we've already received tonight. But Lord, as we look into this Bible character that you've given to us, part of a history of his life, and you've recorded it so that we could learn from this Bible character, I just pray that you would help each one of us to be able to receive, have that ear to hear what you have for us. I pray, God, that you would bless the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Uzzah, now listen to me. Uzzah, a man who by his own actions shortened his life. Shortened his life. The Bible says in verse 10 that, "And the anger of the Lord," the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. Whatever Uzzah did, and understanding what he did, it angered the Lord to the place where God took his life. That's what the Bible says. And smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. So it raises a question tonight. Can we lengthen and shorten our lives on this earth? Does the Bible say that we can? Is there scripture that back that up? As we look here to Uzzah, there's no doubt Uzzah did not die of old age. Uzzah died because what he did angered the Lord to the place where God took his life. We have that recorded in scriptures for us, and it's there for us to learn from that. So first of all, let's look at a couple verses here. If I go too fast, write them down so that you'll be able to study them afterwards. But in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 3, the Bible says this in verse 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Keeping God's commandments, according to God's word, will lengthen the days and give peace. Wow. Well, look over to chapter 10 of Proverbs. Is that the only passage? There's much more. We're just going to share a few here with you tonight. But Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. A life pleasing God is going to be more apt to give you longer days. A life of wickedness is going to be more apt to shorten your life. That's what that proverb is saying right there. John chapter 15, looking to the New Testament. John chapter 15. Verse 1 and 2. Jesus here teaching his disciples, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, you're saved and you're not serving God, he taketh away. A person saved, not serving God, the Bible says your life is not going to be lengthened, but he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In order to bring forth more fruit, you have to have life. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. Starting to see, as per the word of God, that we can lengthen and shorten our lives here. Ephesians in chapter 6. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. If it be possible within God's will. Can I tell you, it's not always God's will, because sometimes it's God's will to be glorified through the homegoing of children. God does not take it lightly whenever a life is taken, because God loves humanity. God loves all life. He loves the lives of human beings. He loves that baby in that womb. He gives life. Children are a heritage of the Lord. That little baby that is born, God loves that baby. That little toddler, God loves that toddler. That little child, God loves that child. That teenager, God loves that teenager. Can I tell you that God does not take it lightly when a life is taken. And sometimes it's within God's will to use that life for certain purposes. But overall, as we study the Bible, a person can, of his own doings, either lengthen or shorten his life on this earth. There's no doubt that's exactly what the Bible teaches. So what did Uzzah do? What did Uzzah do to cause God, to anger God, to take Uzzah's life from off of this earth? What did he do? Well, first of all, you have to understand the ark. The Bible says that he touched the ark, but we need to understand it. We need to break it down a little bit so that we can have a better understanding of why it angered God. First of all, in Exodus, and you'll not have to turn there, but chapter 25, especially verse 22, it helps us to understand the ark would represent the presence of God amongst the children of God. That's what the ark was there for. The ark was very holy. And God gives specific instructions concerning the ark of God. And the children of Israel, he gave instructions on how it was to be kept, how it was to be moved. It was very precious. It was holy. Because it represented the very presence of God amongst God's people. That was the ark. Israel had turned away from serving God, and they had been defeated in battle by the Philistines. The Philistines, thinking that they had defeated the God of Israel, decided that they were going to now capture the ark and put it in with the rest of their many gods, small letter G gods. And so we find in 1 Samuel that the Philistines took the ark back. They woke up the next day, and Dagon, their main god, was falling down on his face before the Ark of Israel. And we don't have time to go over all that, but God helped them to see, you didn't defeat me. Because as I preach on this morning, God never loses. God does not lose. And so we find here that this all took place to the point where the Philistines now were suffering the wrath of God. And they were having boils, and they were having all the different things happen. They said, hey, we got to get rid of this ark. And so they decided to move the ark back and give it back to the Israelites. Well, look back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7, because this is important concerning concerning Uzzah. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Now we know how holy and how precious the ark was. It represents a holiness in the very presence of God. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1 and 2, the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord as the Philistines brought it back to Israel. They went back and they fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it unto the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of God. That would have been his oldest son. It came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that there was, that the time was long, the whole time of the rule of Saul over Israel. The whole time Saul ruled, he never desired to have the ark brought back to Jerusalem. It wasn't until David became king. And David now is wanting to unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And he wants to unite them around the God of Israel. And so one of the things that David wants to do is to get the ark and bring it back to Jerusalem. Amen. But it had been in the house of Obed-Edom a long time. Matter of fact, the Bible says it was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. So it was there in the house of Obed-Edom, or Abinadab, rather. In the house of Abinadab. We look at our text today, tonight, and we find that Uzzah was a son of Abinadab. So His oldest son was in charge of caring for the ark. Uzzah was a younger boy at that time. Put yourself there. Uzzah, probably a toddler during this, 20 years. He died a young man. But when it first came, he would have maybe a teenager. But more than likely, he would have been younger than that. And as the ark came, his dad, understanding what the ark represented, his older son, his older brother, understanding that he was given charge of taking care of the ark as long as it was there, would have gathered the family around and said, "This is something that is very, very holy. According to Almighty God, we are blessed to have it in our presence. The one thing that you do not want to do is ever touch the ark." Now, Uzzah would have been like most young people. When you tell them they can't do it, what do they want to do? I don't know how many times Uzzah might have sneaking around at some point, and his older brother saw him and says, "You better not touch the ark." His dad sat him down and said, "Uzzah, this ark, let me give you the history of the ark. Let me explain it to you. Let me tell you what it represents." And so for 20 years, Uzzah was raised to understand the holiness of the ark of God. For 20 years, he was raised to love and to worship the ark of God. Amen. 20 years. And then one day, David becomes king. And he says, the ark of God needs to come to the city of David. It needs to come to Jerusalem. And we need to unite around it. Now he's 20 years older. For 20 years, he had been instructed. 20 years, he had understood, because of what everybody, his father, his older brother, all the other people around him told him, this was something very, very special. So now he is helping to transport the ark. Look back with me. Everybody follow me, right? 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Verse 7. They carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio, two other sons, drave the cart. Now, can I tell you that David should have known better than to allow the ark to be put on a new cart and to be driven? Because that's not how God instructed Israel to transport the ark. They failed to transport the ark in the manner prescribed by God. So where did this idea of putting it on a new cart and driving the cart come from? 1 Samuel, not have to turn there. I want to try to take as little bit of time as I can on this. Write this verse down. 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. It was the Philistines, when they realized they had to get rid of the ark because it was bringing the judgment of God down upon the Philistines, they sought instructions on how they could appease God in moving the ark away. And they were instructed to build a new cart and put the ark on a cart and drive it away. So that's how it came to the house of Obed-Edom, or the house of Abinadab. And as it's there in the house, no doubt the scriptures, they would have known better, that for 20 years they would have done a research. They would have been teaching their children all about the ark. But when David came, David did not move the ark the way that God had told them to move the ark. God allowed the Philistines to put it on a new cart But Uzzah and David should have known better. God was not pleased. They were doing everything else right. They were rejoicing, they were singing, and they were praising God. But God's up there, no doubt, God knowing what he had given to them, was not pleased with David, was not pleased with Uzzah. And as they were moving, the one thing that Uzzah would have been instructed over and over again on what not to do, when the oxen that were pulling the cart fell into a hole or some kind of a chuck hole, and the ark looked like it might even fall off the cart, Uzzah reached up to steady the ark, but he put his hand on something that God had instructed them that he was not to put his hand on. Wow. Uzzah should have known better. 20 years living with it, day and night. 20 years remembering back when he was a child, thinking that if they told me not to touch it, I've got experience touching it. And all that went on there, we don't have all that recorded. We know because of human nature, all those things would have taken place. He would have been disciplined. He would have been instructed. After 20 years, he does what God had told him not to do. And God was angered. His patience and his long-suffering, and God is a very patient and long-suffering God, but at some point that long-suffering and that patience comes to an end, and Uzzah crossed over a point of no return. And when he touched the ark, he shortened his life, and God took him. Today, what is it that we might be tempted to do that we know better? I mean, looking at Uzzah right here, that's exactly what happened. He shortened his days because he knew better, and for whatever reason, however he wanted to justify it, he did what he knew that he should not do. And that was the last straw. And because he did that of his own free will, God took his life. We know that we should not be associating with the world, because if we are associating and being like the world, then we lose our savor or our saltiness, and we cannot be a witness to the world. If we're just like the lost, how can we be a witness to the lost? Therefore, then the Bible tells us that we ought to be separated from the worldly things so that we might be able to have a testimony of God to people. In Romans in chapter 12, I love this verse, these two verses of the Bible, because it helps us to know this. In chapter 12, it says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is what God is begging you to do, that you present your bodies. New Testament bodies of believers are the temple of God, meaning that the ark lives within you. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The ark lives within me, yes, because it represents the presence of God. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. God lives within you, and that makes your body the temple of God. And God says, I want you to use it to glorify me. Amen. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. I taught this in Sunday school a few weeks ago. Some people have a different concept of holiness. And some people have a different concept of separation. And the degree of separation, there might be some variances in the degree of separation, but you cannot believe the Bible and not understand that God wants us to be separated. You cannot believe the Bible and not understand that God says that you are different. And you are to be an ambassador. You are to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You are to be a witness unto me. You have God living in you. Just what it means for your separation, your point of how far to go in doing whatever, that's between you and God. But there's got to be a point in time when you look at it, a point in your actions, a point in your lifestyle that you say, this is unholy and this is holy, and I choose to be holy. Whatever degree and wherever that is, but you had better to make up your mind what is unholy and what is holy, what is modest and what is not, what is immodest. What is right and what is wrong. What God is pleased with and what God is not pleased with. We have to come to that place in our lives to understand that we represent God. Our bodies have the indwelling of the ark. The very same that the ark, what it represented in the Old Testament, it's inside of us. If you're saved, your body is not your own. The Bible says, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God's not asking too much to say, live for me, represent me, and be not conformed to this world. What is conforming to the world? You have to make that determination for you. But can I tell you that we ought to abstain from the very appearance of evil? If it's a question mark, whether it's worldly or not, I should stay away from it. Why take a chance on angering God? Amen. I want to please the Lord. I want to live as to please God, because as I'm pleasing God, I can actually add days to my life. I can actually bring peace into my life as I please the Lord. Amen. Or I could very well shorten my life when I go beyond the point of no return, when I go beyond the line that God has set for me. And he is a long-suffering, very patient God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where it starts, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is it that we know better, but we're doing it anyway? The idea of smoking, the idea of drinking alcohol. We know better because it's an association with something that God does not want us to associate with. But not only that, it has been known. Cigarette smoking has been proven to cause cancer, to hinder the health of this temple. Alcohol. When I'm under the influence of alcohol, I do not have full control of my mind. I do not have full control of my body. I'm more apt to do something that I would not do if I had clear thinking. And so because of that, I should not associate my lifestyle with alcohol, with smoking. Listen to me, as we do, and we know it to be wrong. I would never, at this point, I would never smoke, because I know I would develop cancer. I know that. But why? Because it's something that cigarette smoking can do. Not everybody gets it, but I would get it. Because it would anger God, because I am more accountable than just anybody. I would never turn to alcohol. I would never have social drinking. I would never get involved in, because I would develop cirrhosis of the liver. Even with just a moderate drink. How do you know that? Because I know it would anger God. And in doing that, cancer shortens your life. Cirrhosis of the liver shortens your life. That wicked lifestyle will shorten your life. But if I stay away from that, and live as to please God, it's more apt to lengthen my life. Can I tell you that if I had not turned my life back to God back a long time ago now, my early 20s, my late teens, early 20s, I would not be here tonight. By surrendering my life to serve the Lord extended my days on this earth. There's no doubt in my mind. I can go back and I can point out situations that I would have been dead. I have no right to even be here outside of the grace of God. But it was a choice that I made. And God made it very clear to me. Either surrender your life to me now, or I'll take your life. I've talked to many others that have somewhat that very same experience in their lives over their past, but I believe it's real. And making that decision, no doubt in my mind, it extended my years. And now I'm just a young man at 60. Amen. Amen. I'm going to make it more advantageous for God to let me live to 90 or until He returns. Amen. However long that might be. What do we know? What do we know better? And we're doing it anyway. Do you really want to point a finger in God's face and say, I'm going to do what I want to do? Church attendance. I know God would have me not to forsake the assembling of myself together, but I just want to do this and do that on Sundays. It's my only day, whatever it might be. Listen to me, you know better. There was a teenage boy several years ago when Brother Merv was the youth pastor of the church. Gotten saved, had just come the Sunday before, surrendered his life, said, I'm going to serve the Lord. The very next week, his friends, so-called friends, which were actually his enemies because they was pulling him away from God, called him and said, hey, we're all going swimming in the lake. I want you to come. He made a decision to go swimming instead of coming to church. And it was around 11 o'clock that Sunday morning that he fell over the side of the boat and drowned. Say, was it God? I'm not going to tell you for sure I know it was God, but I know this. If he had made the decision to have been in church, he very, quite possibly could still be alive today. That one decision shortened his life. I would be afraid to be anywhere but at church on Sunday. Amen. Why? Because God knows I am more accountable. Heard about the man that woke up and told his wife, I'm not going to church today. And she said, oh, honey, come on, you'll feel better. Get up and get dressed. You know we need to go to church. I'm not going to church today. Said, honey, you're the pastor. You have to go to church today. Yeah. Even pastors don't feel like it all the time. But you do what you know God wants you to do, and God strengthens you to get it done. Yeah. What is it that you know better, but you're still looking to do it? Uzzah took hold of the ark. Go back there with me. We're going to close. Go back with me. First Chronicles chapter 13. God allowed him to go so far. God allowed him to drive the cart. Was not what, and no doubt he would have been reprimanded somehow. He would have been, David would have realized it. Uzzah might not have lost his life over it. God allowed him to go so far before he smote Uzzah. This would have been first between God and Uzzah. But when God took Uzzah, it impacted the life of David. And it taught Israel a lesson. Because right after this, the Bible says David didn't know what to do. David said, how can I ever get the ark back? And he was confused and he was stunned. And God came to David, revealed some things to him. If you will, chapter 15. We're going to close with this. Look at chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Because if you remember, we read, and the ark remained with the family of Obed-Edom. What happened to Obed-Edom? God blessed him. David sees that and says, he takes Uzzah's life for touching the ark, and so I can't bring it back to Jerusalem because I don't know how to move it, and I take it to Obed-Edom, and now he's blessing Obed-Edom. And David did a little research. And he realized something he should have realized. He wasn't transporting it the way God said to transport it. Chapter 15, verse 2. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. It was the Levites that God had given instruction to care for the tabernacle and to carry the ark. And they were to carry the ark. They were not to drive the ark. But for the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark, to carry the ark, and to minister unto him forever. Look down to verse 13. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord of God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon. And Moses commanded, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Amen. Getting ready to do something you know not going to please God, you better think twice. Better do some research. We better have a desire to do things God's way. It's been said, there's never a right way to do a wrong thing. Neither can we do a right thing in a wrong way. The right way is the way that God hath designed. Are we doing things the way that God would have us to do them? Who knows? By making that decision, it very well could shorten or lengthen our days. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. A man who by his own actions shortened his life. I'm good if God wants to take my life and use it at any point. If God says, I'm going to leave it really up to you. If you want more days and serve me, and I'll give you more days. If you don't want more days and you're not living for me, I'm going to take your life. Wow. I want to raise my children to live as to lengthen their days. I'm going to try to encourage as many people as I can to live as to please God so they might lengthen their days and not have them shortened. With every head bowed and every eye closed, an invitation's going on right now. If God's speaking to you and you need to come to this altar for whatever reason, salvation, baptism, church membership, we invite you to come. Tonight, after the invitation, we're going to be having communion. Communion is something that God has given to the church as an ordinance to remember the sacrifice that he made for us. When you just stop for a moment and think about what Jesus did for you, it's going to encourage you to want to live for him. We're going to have communion tonight. There's a warning given to not take it unworthily. If there's something that you are doing that you know God does not want you to do, and you're not willing to confess and forsake it tonight, do not take communion, because you will shorten your life. It's a very serious thing that we do in remembering the sacrifice of the Lord. Maybe you just need to come and prepare for communion. Whatever the need, we invite you to come. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for the character that we've studied tonight, Uzzah. And God, what you have given to us to help us to understand what lesson you want us to learn from this Bible character. And I pray, God, that we would all take heed to this and we would make whatever applications necessary. Now bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.